Chapter 9. I stared in awe at the brilliance of the diabolic headstone as it sat among the other four artifacts. The headstone was smaller than I'd imagined it to be, rectangular in shape, and it was barely half the size of the inscriptions that sat beside it. It was made from brown granite, but the strange words and markings were in white, and the base of the stone was thicker to help it stand. Apart from the foreign words and symbols, if the headstone had been used to mark someone's grave, I probably wouldn't have looked twice at it. I felt the grin form on my face as I imagined how pissed the elder lord would be when he found out I'd spoiled his plan, and now I had the ability to cause great destruction. But it also made me think about what the elder lord was going to do, now that he couldn't take the artifacts for his own benefit. I knew he'd find another way to try and kill me, but what did that include?
Isn't it perfect?
Penelope broke me away from my musing. Extremely, I said as I turned to look at my coven. My large group of women stood together in a huddle on the other side of the common room, and from the sight of them, I could tell it hadn't been an easy mission. Their hair was messy, they all looked slightly defeated and tired, and there was a large pool of water on the floor from where ice and snow had melted. I also noticed Lilith and Theodora had left the room, but Theodora had to run the school, and I had a feeling Lilith left to speak to Jinx some more. "Thank you for retrieving the final artifact," I said to my coven. "I can tell it wasn't easy, but you worked together and completed your task."
"Yeah, it was even harder than Gashota. I never want to see snow again in my life. Neither do I,"
Della said as she slumped against Cersei.
"I think I was seconds away from getting frostbite. Also, despite what I was told, allowing snow to melt in your mouth is nothing like drinking water."
Cleo's eyes widened.
"That shit tastes so bad. I hope it wasn't yellow,"
Nyx smirked. Whispered giggles came from the majority of the group, but a stern look from Cleo instantly silenced them.
"What did you get up to, my lord?"
Morgana asked.
"You said you had your own mission to complete?"
"Ah, yes." I nodded, and then wandered over to a couch to take a seat. I wanted to increase our army as much as we could for the war against the Elder Lord, whatever they may involve.
"And did you manage it?"
Faye asked as the rest of them took a seat. "Well, of course I did," I said with a smirk. I went in search of creatures who could bring power the Elder Lord hadn't witnessed before, and I believe I've found the perfect group.
"Creatures?"
Beatrix asked. "Creatures," I said with a nod. I shadow-ported into Hell with the assistance of Lilith, and there I managed to collect a large array of beasts and demons, all eager and willing to kill off the Elder Lord.
"You shadow-ported into Hell?"
Astrid frowned.
"While we were in Yasselis, you literally managed to get to Hell and back? Don't worry."
Revna laughed and patted her sister's shoulder.
"You'll soon learn our master can do anything, and he'll always do it far quicker than any of us could."
"So, which creatures did you come across?"
Vesta asked, and her velvety voice dropped into a sensual purr.
"Any that are delightfully sinful?"
"Oh, very. A few demons, a giant, some elves. The list goes on and on."
"I've always wanted to meet a demon. Do they live up to the reputation? Can they transform into any living thing around them?"
"Yes. Do they kill their prey by ripping their heads off first?"
Cersei ran her forked tongue across her lips.
"I heard demons drink the blood of their victims, but the demons wear their victim's skin as a sign of dominance and strength. I was told they can only come out at night like a vampire."
Remy added.
"Where is all this coming from?"
Samara asked, and the former goddess frowned at the other witches.
"Have you been reading fairy stories before you go to bed? These are ridiculous theories."
Vanessa rolled her eyes.
"I'd suggest you do some more research before you meet these demons."
"Well, I have to admit," I said, with my hands in the air. "I've never heard of a demon only coming out at night or blending in with their surroundings, but, well, they do rip off the heads of their prey before they devour them."
"Yes! I knew I was right. Damn, I was sure someone had mentioned their camouflage skills to me before."
Nyx sighed as she slumped in her seat. "Well, perhaps you can ask Dolroth when you meet him, or any of the other demons I created."
"What?"
Cersei's jaw dropped open to reveal her forked tongue.
"You You created the demons?
I did. I nodded. From nothing but soot and fire. And I have the ability to give them any strengths or weaknesses that I feel they should receive.
Fuck, that's so cool.
Nyx grinned.
Could you make one for me? Oh, please, Master, they could act like a second familiar. You already get a child. Don't be too greedy.
Cersei snickered. We can discuss the demons later, but for now, I feel it's best we all get some rest and replenish our energy.
Our lord is right.
Vanessa said as she stood up.
Everyone is tired, so I suggest we enjoy a good meal and get to bed. Satan.
Akira groaned as she wrapped one arm around her stomach.
I'm so hungry I could eat an onikuma. Akira, you and I could eat a bear every day before we became pregnant. Today is no different. Well, it's true.
The witch shrugged.
Now I'm going to see what's available in the banquet hall.
The rest of the coven stood from their seats and prepared themselves to leave, but I stayed where I was. I'd experienced a number of different time zones, and I'd gone from the sandy desert of Gashotha to the fiery pits of hell, so I wanted nothing more than to wash off the grime that coated my body.
My lord, would you care to join us?
Freya asked. No, you all go on ahead.
Okay, master.
Freya gave me a sweet smile, and then she followed the rest of the women from the room. I remained on the couch for an additional 5 minutes as I took in the peace and quiet, but then I stood up. I would have felt even worse in the morning if I didn't have a wash before I fell asleep. Cordelia, can you prepare a bath for me?
Of course, master. It'll be ready for you by the time you get there.
Thank you, I replied, and I glanced at the familiars by the fire before I plodded up the stairs that took me to my room. My body had been running on adrenaline this entire time, so I hadn't even realized how tired I was until I stopped for a split second. My legs felt like lead, my eyes were heavy, and there were at least 3 layers of dried sweat all across my body. I embraced the warming, comforting scent of lavender as I arrived in my room, and I spotted the clouds of steam leaving the bathroom as I tore off my clothes and threw them over the back of a chair. I ran one hand through my choppy hair as I walked my naked body toward the bath, and my loud yawn filled the entire room.
I've also prepared some food for you, master,
Cordelia said from somewhere around me.
I know you didn't ask for it, but I thought you'd appreciate having something to eat.
Thank you. I smiled. I hadn't realized how hungry I was.
Then it's good you got me to look out for you.
I don't know what I'd do without you, Cordelia, I said as I closed the bathroom door. I couldn't even see the bathwater from the sheer amount of bubbles Cordelia had added, which I wasn't going to complain about, and beside the bath, sitting on a small table, was a circular platter of food. Cordelia had included a vast selection of fruit, crudités, cheese, and even some olives, and my mouth watered at the sight. The melon looked incredibly juicy and delicious, the carrot and celery had been sliced into equal-length batons, and there was a healthy amount of dip spooned into a ceramic bowl. I wasn't sure what the dip was, but as I sank deep into the hot water, I collected some of the orange creamy dip using a carrot stick and threw the whole thing into my mouth. There was something relaxing about the texture of the carrot, the sweetness of the dip, and the warm water that soaked my body, and I almost didn't want to leave. I could have quite happily remained there all night, eating strawberries, popping grapes into my mouth, and watching my fingers become pruny. I didn't know how much time had passed before I finally gave up eating and focused on washing my body instead. I'd gone through all the fruit and vegetables, and I'd eaten a large portion of the cheese and olives, but I saved the leftovers for Alexander to enjoy. I poured a large dollop of shampoo into my palm and then applied it to my hair and worked it into a lather. The bubbles dripped down my face and onto my shoulders, and once I'd finished with my hair, I worked on the rest of my body. I must have been in that bath for at least an hour, and I constantly made sure the water never cooled down enough to make me shiver. At one point I heard some of the coven return from the banquet hall, but they left me to relax, and I knew they'd gone to bed when I heard the subtle sounds of their doors closing. Finally it was time to get out, so I stood up, and my body instantly reacted to the sudden change in temperature as I reached for a fresh towel. I wasn't sure if the room had always been that cold, or if the temperature outside had dropped in the time I'd been taking my bath, but either way, the cotton of the towel worked wonders on my cold, tired body. Then, with the towel wrapped around my waist, I took a quick minute to brush my teeth and went to leave the bathroom. But I instantly came to a halt when I noticed my bed wasn't empty. For a second, I thought I was dreaming, but the longer I stared, the more real my delightful vision became. Vanessa, Della, Tally, Cleo, and Remy had taken comfort across my large bed, and none of them wore a single stitch of clothing.
"Did you enjoy your bath, my lord?"
Vanessa asked as she twirled a strand of her hair around one finger. "I did, and I hope you enjoyed your meals."
"We did,"
Cleo said softly.
"But there is one thing on our mind, and we just couldn't shake it."
"Oh, yes?" I asked as I grasped onto my towel. "And what was that?"
"You."
Remy breathed.
"You simply amaze us, master. And we're so distracted by the thought of you that we barely tasted our food."
"Well, perhaps I could offer you something else to devour," I said with a shrug. "That is, if you're not too tired."
"I'm sure we could find the energy somewhere,"
Vanessa smirked. "Well, in that case, let me see what I can find for you." Then I dropped my towel, and I saw how the women's eyes widened as they took in my hardened cock. "Which of you deserve to taste me first?" I asked as I grabbed my cock with one hand.
"Please, my lord,"
Remy said first as she scrambled to leave the bed.
"I would love nothing more than to receive your love,"
Cleo winked.
"Will you put a baby inside of me, master?"
Della asked. I purred as I debated who to take first. Tally and Vanessa never voiced their replies, but instead they stared at me with hungry looks in their eyes. Tally played with her long black hair, and Vanessa nibbled on her bottom lip as her hands roamed across her bare chest. It was an incredibly difficult decision to make, especially as all five of them wanted me as much as I wanted them, but I had to pick one of them to start off with. So I chose the women closest to me. "Remy, get on your knees."
"Oh, thank you, Dark One,"
the redhead said as she practically sprinted over to me. Remy stared up at me as she positioned herself on the floor, and I spotted the need and desire which ran through her gorgeous green eyes. The Adrian woman placed one hand on my thigh, and then she used the second hand to line my cock up with her mouth. She expertly closed her lips around my length, and a shiver ran down my back as her skillful tongue licked a path around my cock while her head bobbed back and forth. My hands became lost in her soft hair, but I allowed Remy to go at her own pace, and she took in as much of me as she could handle. As Remy worked her magic on my cock, I glanced up to see the other women were sitting patiently on the bed. They were clearly waiting on my next order, and I wanted to see them put their talented hands to good use. "I want the rest of you to work on each other," I smirked. "You cannot pleasure yourselves, and should I catch you breaking those rules, you'll be left to watch as I fuck the others while you stay wet and desperate. Do you understand?"
"Yes, my lord,"
the women replied in unison. "Then go. Let me see what you are capable of doing." Della paired up with Vanessa while Cleo chose Tally, and the four of them instantly obeyed my rules. Della attacked Vanessa with a feverish kiss, and Tally parted Cleo's legs and ran the length of her tongue up Cleo's pussy. The sounds that danced through my ears caused my excitement to grow, and I had to close my eyes to stop myself from coming. Remy occasionally gagged when my dick went too far down her throat, but the witch quickly recovered, and soon she was back to sucking and licking the entirety of my length. Fuck. I groaned as the sensations rippled through me. Remy simply hummed in response, but the vibrations felt like a shockwave racing through my dick, and I couldn't get enough of everything she had to give me. Pleasant sighs and moans then came from the bed, and I looked over to see Della was fucking Vanessa with her tongue. Della massaged Vanessa's breasts with both hands, and from the look on Vanessa's face, I knew she was about to come. Her blue eyes had squinted shut. A warm blush coated her cheeks, and the professor bit down on her lips as a way of keeping the moans at bay. The sinful sights in the room caused the monster inside of me to rear his head, and I could no longer hold back the desire to fill Remy with my white cream. "Prepare yourself," I said through clenched teeth. Remy took my cock deep in her mouth, and then as the coil broke, my cock spasmed, and I shot my load down her throat. The witch closed her eyes as she desperately sucked down every last drop, and she didn't move away until she was certain I'd finished. I still had a lot more where that came from, but I wanted to save that for a different part of her anatomy.
"I hope that was okay for you, my lord,"
Remy said as she shuffled back and licked her swollen lips. "It was better than okay. You have an unbelievably talented tongue, and I love seeing what you can do with it."
"Thank you, master."
She smiled. "Now I want you to pick someone on the bed who I'll fuck next."
"Mom."
Remy paused as she thought.
"Tally, my lord. I want to watch you fuck Tally."
"Very well," I nodded. "In which case you must take over for her and bring Cleo to her release."
"Of course,"
the witch said as she stood to her feet. The five women moved aside as I neared the bed, and they made the perfect space for me in the middle. It was clear from the smile on Tally's face that she was eager for me to take her, and she sat cross-legged in the center of the bed as I planned my next move. I could have given her the option of which position I fucked her in, or I could have decided for her. I ran through the choices through my brain as I came upon an answer, and then I looked Tally directly in the eyes once I'd made my choice. "Get on your back," I said with a motion of my hand. "You're going to watch me fuck you."
"Thank you, my lord,"
Tally sighed. "But I want the entire school to hear you. I need you to scream my name as loudly as you can, so everyone in the vicinity knows what I'm doing to you."
"Of course, master."
"Good," I grinned. I stood in silence as Tally slid down the bed and widened her legs for me. Then I took in the sight of her glistening pussy and how Tally had to stop herself from playing with her breasts. And, once the witch was in position, I pounced. I grasped onto her thighs with both hands to help Tally angle her legs behind them, and then I took one hand and ran a line from her thigh, up her pussy lips, and along her pubic bone. Tally shivered from my touch, and goosebumps broke out across her skin and caused her hair to stand on end. The mouth-watering scent of her dripping pussy filled my nose, and I salivated at the thought of feeling those juices coating my cock. Then I lined myself up at her entrance, paused for a dramatic second, and sheathed myself inside her in one smooth thrust.
"Oh, fuck! Yes, master, yes!"
Her tunnel enveloped my length, and I felt how it adjusted to my size every time I pulled back and pounded in again. Her warmth was inviting, and her soft sighs caused the monster to rear his head once again. "Tell them. Tell the school how hungry you are for my cock."
"Dark one, I can't get enough of you."
The entire bed crashed up against the wall as I put all my energy into fucking Tally, and the sounds of our skin slapping together only made me move harder and faster.
Shit!
Tally screamed at the top of her lungs.
"Fuck, you feel so good."
My breathing came out in deep, labored pants, and I thought my heart was going to explode out of my chest. I tried to hold back the urge to come, but the sight of Tally's breasts bouncing from the movement and the sight of the other women made it an almost impossible challenge. Remy and Cleo were on my left side, Della and Vanessa were on the right, and it looked as though neither of the pairs had any idea what was going on between them. They were all so caught up bringing pleasure to each other that it seemed as if Tally and I didn't exist. But I was about to change that, especially when I finished with Tally and found someone new to claim.
"Oh, my lord. I need to come."
The witch arched her back, but she met every thrust I aimed at her. "Not yet. Only I can tell you when to come." A droplet of sweat rolled down my spine as the muscles at the back of my legs began to cramp up, but every time I moved, Tally would adjust her hold around me, and her locked ankles rubbed my back soothingly. Several minutes passed as I fought back the need to release and Tally massaged her breasts in an attempt to keep her emotions at bay. I noticed the shine of sweat on her cheeks and down her neck, and I almost became hypnotized by that reaction. Then, as the coil tightened inside my body, I held Tally closer against me to prepare her for what was about to happen. "You and I will come together."
"Of course, my lord."
Then I pulled out for half a second and pounded back inside Tally's pussy as my cock exploded, and I filled her with a pint of my warm white seed. As I emptied inside her, Tally's walls spasmed, and she coated my length in her juices.
"Oh, no, Satan! Yes, plant a baby in my womb!"
Stars floated around my eyes, and my hearing became muffled, but I stayed settled within Tally as she embraced the rules of her orgasm. Every time she moved, it sent a gentle shock through my cock, but I held the witch close to me until her movements came to an end. Then I slowly slipped out of her gushing tunnel, and then I gave myself a short minute to recover from the incredible experience with Tally before I chose my next woman. I picked Della to fuck next, and I was certain the walls vibrated as Della let out her loud, animalistic roars. My cock slipped in and out of her with ease, but there was no better feeling than when her walls would tighten around me, and I practically came from that one movement alone. Then I had to make a difficult decision, whether to pick Remy or Cleo to receive my seed. But instead of putting one to the side, I decided to fuck them both at the same time. I made Remy ride my cock as Cleo sat on my face, and I fucked her with my tongue. Like with Della and Tally, the Adrian women screamed my name as I drove them toward their climaxes, and I had them swap places before either of them could come. Then, as my seed begged to be released, I ordered Remy and Cleo to lie on their backs, so I'd have an easier time inseminating both of them. I pulled out of Remy halfway through my orgasm, and then I slammed into Cleo so I could fill her up as well. It took everything I had not to give my seed to just one of them, but the reward was 10 times better than the pain. It felt as though my body was going to give out as the three of us recovered, but I still had Vanessa to enjoy, and I'd kept her till last for a reason. "Come here, Vanessa," I said with a motion of my hand. Vanessa obeyed my command without question, and the four other women made room for the professor to sit in the middle. "Have you enjoyed watching me fuck these women?"
"I have, my lord."
She purred, and her blue eyes glinted with lust.
"It's a great honor and privilege to watch them receive your love. However, I must admit, it's been difficult to stay patient and wait for my turn."
"Well, there is a reason why you've had to wait," I said, as I brought a strand of her pitch-black hair into my hand. "Vanessa, I am incredibly impressed with everything you did with the artifacts, so I'd like to reward you."
"Thank you, Master,"
she said with her head bowed.
"I was only doing what you asked."
"Yes, but you managed your group incredibly well, and you retrieved the artifact as requested. Because of that, you get to decide how I fuck you. You get to decide everything I do while my cock is deep inside of you." Vanessa's eyes widened, and I noticed the makings of a smirk form across her lips. I didn't often give my women the decision to decide my every move, so allowing them to be dominant was a reward not many of them have received.
"Thank you, Dark One."
"So, where would you like me?" I winked. Vanessa stood from the bed, and she placed both hands on my shoulders. Then the professor looked me deep in the eyes, and I noticed the thoughtful expression that ran through them, like she had to think deeply through her options.
"I want you to lie on your back,"
she said a moment later. I followed her command and settled myself against the bed. It felt pleasantly strange to have a woman make the rules, and I enjoyed not knowing what was about to happen or what was going on inside her head. I kept my hands at my sides, and as Vanessa crawled onto the bed, she grabbed my cock in one hand and tugged on it a few times.
"Would you like me to fuck you with my mouth or my pussy?"
she asked, innocently. "Either. Just as long as you fuck me, I don't care how you do it."
"In that case,"
I still had no idea what was going to happen, but then Vanessa stood up straight and straddled my lap with one knee on either side. The dark-haired witch kept her hand firmly around my cock, and I noticed the small drop of precum that pooled at the tip. "Please?" I said as she continued to tug on my aching member.
"Yes?"
"Please? I need to feel you."
"Now you know the pain, master."
She winked. A pleasurable pain raced through my body, and although I knew it frustrated my women when I teased them, it made the overall outcome so much more satisfying. But now I knew how it felt to be on their side of things. I knew how agonizing it could be for them. Finally, after what seemed like hours, Vanessa positioned my cock against her entrance, and then she moaned as she took in every inch of my length.
Oh, fuck!
The professor closed her eyes, arched her back, and took handfuls of her hair as she bounced up and down as fast as she could manage. Her magnificent breasts moved along with the motion, and I had to watch them in order to keep myself sane. Oh, fuck, you feel so good.
What was that?
Vanessa smirked.
I didn't quite hear you.
Then, just to tease me some more, Vanessa sunk all the way down and tightened her walls around me. Oh, fuck! I said you feel so good.
Well, because I'm in charge, I want you to stay as silent as possible until I tell you to come. You cannot make a single moan. Otherwise, I'll relieve myself, but I'll leave you to wait.
I glanced up at Vanessa with a dark look in my eyes. I knew the game she was playing, but I would be sure to punish her for her actions once this was over. But of course I couldn't say that, so I stayed silent and waited until we'd finished before I announced my new decision. It was harder than I thought not to make a sound, especially as Vanessa teased and played with my cock as much as she did. I grabbed onto the bed sheets to fight off the need to make a noise, and things only got harder as Vanessa slipped one hand between her legs and began to play with her pussy. I felt every single movement, and I was seconds away from coming, but I knew that also wasn't part of the plan. My skin was coated in sweat, my heart felt like it was going to explode from my chest, and I almost regretted having that bath before this. I was going to need another one, especially if the copious amount of sweat continued to build up and form across my skin. I thought I'd never reach my climax, and at one point I thought Vanessa was going to take the pleasure for herself, but that all changed as the tiny muse left her lips.
Coco, I can't hold on much longer. I'm going to come.
Then, as Vanessa's moves became even more erratic, she gave me a countdown I had to match, and I was more than willing to meet her on a count of three. The second Vanessa climaxed, my cock jerked, and a stream of warm seed shot through her tunnel and poured into her womb. It was one of the most powerful orgasms I'd felt in a long time, and it seemed as though it was going to go on forever. My loud moans filled the room, and Vanessa roared like a mighty lioness as her body came down from the high it was experiencing.
Oh, fuck. My master, that was... Oh, I have no words. Thank you. My lord, thank you for allowing me the privilege. Thank you for filling me with your unholy seed.
Vanessa then slipped off my cock, and she laid on top of me as she controlled her manic breathing. Her skin was clammy to the touch, but the scent of sex lingered throughout the room, and I never wanted that smell to vanish. That's what you get for completing your missions as well as you did, I said as I placed both hands upon her back. However, for telling me not to talk, I may need to punish you next time. Vanessa shot up from her position and stared at me with wide eyes.
You wouldn't.
Well, maybe I will. I shrugged. But I suppose we'll have to see how generous I feel next time. Chances were I wasn't going to punish her for something like that, but it amused me to see the fear on her face, at least for a fraction of a second. The Adrian women then closed in around us, and we all laid in blissful, satisfied silence for several more minutes before we finally decided to try and get some sleep. My energy levels had dropped dramatically since I'd finished with my women, and I found it hard to keep my eyes open for any longer than a minute. The comforter felt soft, yet also cold against my heated skin, and the peaceful breathing from the women beside me worked like a lullaby to help me drift off to sleep. I barely remembered a single dream that flitted through my mind, nor did I remember tossing or turning once throughout the night. But one thing I could recall was the feeling of utter bliss and serenity that overcame me as I awoke from my slumber. I laid in bed with my eyes closed for several seconds, and then I only opened my eyes as I noticed the absence of Vanessa and the Adrian women in my bed. Then I sat up and peered across to the window. The sun was shining, but I couldn't work out whether it was early in the morning or some time in the afternoon. It was unlike my women to leave my bed without me telling them to, but perhaps they'd been awake for hours, and they knew I needed my sleep. All of a sudden, the sounds of excited laughter came from the common area downstairs. That helped me to realize the time, because my coven weren't often so chipper first thing in the morning. But I was also intrigued to find out what had caused them such excitement. A deep frown formed on my face as I slipped from the bed and threw some clothes onto my naked body.
Good afternoon, Master.
Cordelia's voice floated around me. Afternoon. So I really did sleep for that long?
My lord, you've been through so much recently. It's only right that you allow your body to recover.
I suppose, I said with a shrug.
Would you care for some lunch?
Cordelia asked. Not right now, thank you, I said as I buttoned up my shirt.
Just let me know whenever you're hungry,
the ghost said before she vanished. Once I'd finished getting changed, I ran a hand through my messy hair and then wandered down the stairs to see what the party was all about.
Good afternoon, my lord.
Akira grinned up at me from the bottom of the stairs.
We wondered when you were going to arise.
Yes, well, I clearly needed my sleep. Now, tell me what's going on down here.
Oh, nothing,
she said cheekily. Akira? I raised an eyebrow.
Ugh! All right, fine. We thought you deserved your own reward, and Faye and I wanted to personally thank you for giving us our children.
My own reward? Why, I was given a reward last night in the form of Vanessa and the Adrian witches.
Yes, but this is different. Come on, you'll see.
Akira hooked her arm around mine and walked me further into the common area.
Something arrived this morning,
she said as we came to a halt.
Should I say someone?
What? I frowned. Akira, you're not making any sense. Just tell me what's going on.
Someone came for you this morning, and I think you're gonna like it.
I spotted the cheeky grin that formed on Akira's face, but before I could ask any more questions, one of the bedroom doors opened to reveal my new arrival.